You're listening to Boat Radio. I'm Carolyn Sherlock. Welcome to the Boat Galley.
Okay, today, let's talk about how much does it cost to cruise? How much does it cost is one of the most frequent pre-cruising questions that people have. And rightly so. It's also a question I've tended to stay away from, as there are so many factors that affect the answer. The short answer is that cruising can cost almost anything you want it to. I know people who cruise on $1,500 a month, and others who average $10,000 a month. But that doesn't help you figure out where you may fall. Instead of giving hard numbers, though, I'd like to discuss some of the variables that will affect your cost of cruising. First is your boat. Most discussions of cruising costs acknowledge that your boat choice drives a lot of the expenses. If you took out a loan to buy your boat, you obviously have to include the payment and the cost of any required boat insurance. Both size and complexity of the boat will play a big role in other expenses. But I think that many of those discussions miss another important point. What condition is your boat in when you begin cruising? Many people spend a year or more working on their boat before they begin cruising. They leave with a boat in tip-top shape. Then there are others, such as us, who do the rolling refit. We start cruising pretty much immediately after buying the boat and upgrade as we go along. Our annual cruising expenses, at least in the first years, are thus going to be considerably higher than someone who has already done their upgrades or who has decided that they simply are not going to do any. But our pre-cruising expenses were far less. Numerous sources also estimate ongoing boat expenses as a percentage of boat cost. The idea is that a more expensive boat is likely bigger with more complex systems to maintain. And that may be true to a point. But I don't think that the initial boat cost has a lot to do with ongoing expenses, especially if you have made major upgrades on the boat or are planning to make them. Sometimes, too, more expensive boats come with well-designed systems that cut down on annual maintenance, while less expensive boats may have ongoing problems from poor gear and poor installations in the past. Batteries and charging systems are one place where money spent up front may save a bundle down the road. And hence, the boat value will be higher and the annual expense lower, which throws the percentage of boat cost totally out of whack. The second big thing is the planned duration of your cruising. How long you intend to cruise is also likely to affect your expenses. If you're doing a short-term cruise, say 1 to 2 years, you're more likely to be willing to put up with camping conditions. If you see the boat as your long-term home, you're more likely to want creature comforts. And creature comforts cost more upfront, as well as more to maintain. The same goes for expenses off the boat. If you see living frugally as something you're doing for a couple of years in order to have this experience, say carrying groceries back to the dinghy dock versus getting a cab, drinking the happy hour $2 beer instead of the $6 umbrella drink you'd really prefer, it's a lot more acceptable than, "I'll never be able to do that again." Further, many who cruise as a year or two sabbatical tend to operate on the "if it breaks, we'll do without" principle. It's both a matter of not wanting to take the time out of the limited time they have available to cruise, and also not wanting the monetary expense. It also reduces the number and the cost of spares they carry, and spares are expensive. Your age. Our idea of an acceptable lifestyle changes as we grow older. We lose some of our physical strength and agility. Things that may be seen as part of the adventure to a 20 or 30-something start falling into the "why am I doing this" category at age 70. A rowing dinghy and ferrying water from shore just aren't things that Dave and I want to deal with anymore. A year ago, we invested in a more reliable but older outboard than what we had previously had. And we have a water maker. Both of these, and numerous other things, add to our costs, but also to our enjoyment. There's also your lifestyle. Your basic lifestyle isn't going to change just because you're on a boat. If you like eating out, you're going to want to go to restaurants. You know if you prefer marinas, with easy access to shore, showers, Wi-Fi, and a social life, or if you'd rather anchor out, where you can explore by dinghy, get in touch with nature, and have more time alone. Your personal style will affect many expenses: food, alcohol, clothing, hair, electronics, and even toys such as kayaks and paddle boards. One of the biggest mistakes I see people make is trying to create a budget that doesn't reflect their tastes. Just because you read a blog where someone says they live on less than $1,000 a month doesn't mean that it's right for you. When you look at cruisers with seemingly low expenses, look to see if they leave some things out of their report. Many don't include alcohol, health insurance, or even some boat expenses. Then look to see what low-budget cruisers are actually doing every day. Are they rowing the dinghy so they don't use gas? Are they catching fish for dinner or going without? Using 10-year-old charts? Living without refrigeration? Going engineless until they can afford the parts to repair it? Think seriously before you say, "Sure, I can do that." Many things sound romantic to read about, but aren't when you're the one living the life. I'm not saying you can't live on a tiny budget, just that it's a decision that needs to be taken very seriously. Dramatically changing your lifestyle to make a budget work almost always does one of two things. You'll either hate the lifestyle or blow the budget. Either one will make you quit cruising sooner than planned. Cruising involves a lot of trade-offs and compromises, and I don't want to discourage anyone, but giving up just about everything that is part of your current lifestyle isn't realistic. Health insurance is another big area. Your health insurance situation and decisions will greatly affect your monthly expenses, and while not specifically a cruising expense, must be considered. And yes, this will vary by your country of residence, and yes, I am an American. That's where I'm speaking from. When we began cruising, we had virtually free health insurance provided as part of Dave's retirement package. When the company filed for bankruptcy several years later, we switched to paying for our own through our retirees group. And then, after a few years, that went away also. Now we are on our own. I tell the story in case you're counting on health insurance from a former employer. It can go away in the blink of an eye, and if so, it can change your budget dramatically. Between Dave's Medicare supplement, prescription coverage, and my Blue Cross coverage, we pay almost $900 a month for health insurance and have a reserve set aside since my coverage has a very high deductible. The U.S. health insurance landscape seems to constantly be in flux these days. I don't want to get into a political debate. We have always chosen to maintain our U.S. insurance, even when we were cruising outside the U.S., as we knew that if any serious medical condition were to arise, we would want to return to the U.S. Yes, we could get good treatment elsewhere, but this is where we have our family and friends and where we would want to be. Your decision may be different, but healthcare costs have to be considered and planned for. Family visits are another part of the budget. Visits home have to be factored into the annual expense. Some people may visit home rarely. Others may make several trips a year. If you have close family relationships, make sure to plan accordingly. This one item has derailed many cruising budgets for grandparents. Remember, too, that a visit home means not just the airplane ticket, but a marina or a haul out for the boat, maybe a boat watcher, taxis, motels, rental cars, and meals out. And you'll probably bring back a few trinkets for the boat. Doing it yourself or hiring work. Many people point to doing work yourself instead of hiring professionals as a big money saver. I'll agree, to a point. The hidden costs of doing it yourself are that the work may take longer, which may result in a larger yard or marina bill, or just time spent at anchor and not cruising, and that you're more likely to add a few, as long as we're at it, items. And if it's the first time you've done something, there may be problems and you may have to buy extra parts. Don't get me wrong, there are other benefits to doing it yourself. You learn your boat better, and if it's something that you've learned how to do, now you know for the next time. You're more self-sufficient. And you're more likely to notice nearby problems and fix them before they become major issues. Dave and I tend to do most of our own work, and while I think we save some money, the other benefits are greater. Also, expenses come in clumps. Living ashore, most people's expenses are reasonably steady from month to month. The opposite is true when cruising. You'll have months with high expenses when annual expenses hit, or when you're preparing for a longer passage or trip to remote areas, and times with low expenses when you're in places where you just can't buy stuff. Money management and the ability to put money aside for long-term expenses is an important skill. Take a look at the cost of sails, electronics, engine repowering, rigging, and so on. Think about when you may have to replace those items and plan for them. Just because this month's or even this year's expenses are low does not mean you can go out and blow the excess in the budget. Until next time, then.
My name is Matt Rutherford. I am the only person in history to have circumnavigated the Americas nonstop. I've sailed alone across the Atlantic twice. I've crossed the Pacific. I've sailed through the Bering Sea and around Cape Horn. I understand the challenges you will face trying to accomplish your blue water dreams. And I know how important it is to have the right boat. Whether buying a blue water boat or selling your blue water boat, Rogue Wave Yacht Sales has the experience to make that happen. Email me at matt@roguewaveyachtsales.com.
Bonnie Lass Charters is Mallorca's number one experience.
Bonnie Lass is a 57-foot converted fishing boat. She was built in 1949 as a herring ring netter in Scotland, and now she's set up for the Mediterranean. Apart from just relaxing in the sunshine on the deck, there's paddleboarding and any kind of exploring you can imagine up along the north coast of Mallorca here, quite often with Maggie the dog in tow as well. Bonnie Lass Charters is unique because no charter is really the same. We work really hard to make it the perfect day for each individual client. To be able to go out and enjoy the day with the guests on board is just fantastic.
For more information and to make a booking, visit bonnielasscharters.com.